Welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. How would you like to make a movie in Italy? Would you like to work with Sophia Loren? She's still around. What about the Clint Eastwood spaghetti westerns of the 60s? Are you a fan of those? If you lean more toward the art house type films of Fellini, that's a possibility as well. Even though MTSU does not have a film school like UCLA, we're offering students an opportunity to make films in Italy with Professor Tom Neff from the Department of Electronic Media Communication. He's our guest today, and we'll take two or three or maybe even more after this word from MTSUnews.com.
Here are a few of the stories now on MTSUnews.com, the university's news and information website. Longtime MTSU alternative fuels researcher Dr. Cliff Rickett and a distant family member of the late poet Edgar Allan Poe are just two of the presenters participating in the Spring 2013 Honors Lecture Series. The series runs through April 15th in the Paul W. Martin Senior Honors Building. MTSU faculty members have until February 22nd to submit proposals for $1,800 grants from the President's Commission on the Status of Women. The curriculum integration grants are offered each year for the inclusion of the experiences and perspectives of women into the curriculum. Multi-Grammy winning arranger and composer Bill Holman will join the MTSU Jazz Ensemble and MTSU Singers on February 23rd for the latest concert in the 2012-2013 MTSU Jazz Artist Series. For MTSU News Anytime, go to MTSUnews.com.
Thanks for being with us today. Professor Neff, this is a whole new experience, and I'm grateful to be able to talk to you about it.
Jenna, thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited about this program. It's a new program, and it's one that honestly started between myself and the Vice Provost, David Schmidt. David had come around to all the faculty members at initiation and said, you know, we're trying to encourage students at MTSU to study abroad. Apparently, only 2 or 3% of the entire MTSU campus ever studies abroad. And yet, each student contributes $10 every semester for abroad study.
International education is one of the most wonderful things we have on campus, and you're right, more people should take advantage of it.
To me, it's one of the most important aspects of one's own education and life. It's something that you only understand after you've done it. You think it's going to be interesting, but you have no idea that it's going to be life-changing.
Well, how did you come into contact with the people in Florence with whom you'll be dealing?
Well, that is a great question. The idea is to go to Florence and shoot 3 or 4 documentaries with teams of students. My background is documentary production. And so a wonderful teaching assistant of mine named Sam Willey and I, in fact, at another faculty member's suggestion, started writing universities in Florence and said, this is our idea, could you help? And the University of Florence, basically in the middle of town, says, yes, we'd love to help you. We have housing. We have facilities you can use. They actually have a food in a cafeteria. And so the students are able to get a wonderful discount and stay in the heart of Florence, which is the heart of the Renaissance, for 3 weeks. And what we'll be doing is several things, making movies. Each team of students, and there'll probably be 3 or 4 teams of 3 or 4 students. We're hoping to get at least 8 and 16. We're still in the middle of all this. And the subject of the films will involve art. And the idea is because Florence is the heart of the Renaissance, and yet we're in the 21st century, how do these mix? So part of the idea is to have, we'll be filming an artist who does traditional art, such as painting or sculpture. We'll find an artist that is doing modern art in Florence, and we'll find an artist who's doing performance art. So three very different types of artists working in a city that is just imbued in culture.
Are these hour-long documentaries suitable for airing on television, or are they shorter, longer? Have you decided that?
That's a very good question. Yes, they'll be short documentaries. These docs will probably be about 10 or 12 minutes. This is a course that the students are in. It's an advanced production course. And essentially, we'll be going to Florence and filming for 3 weeks. We'll bring all that footage back here to MTSU and do the editing and post-production during summer. So the students get the full usual credit, but the course has to be completed within the usual period. And so what I'm hoping is to end up with three good, say, 10-minute films, and we can string them together and put them on PBS as a half-hour show.
So you'll be going over there when and coming back when?
Right now, we're planning to leave May 11th, which is a Saturday, I believe, and we'll be over there till June 1st. And then I have us taking off for a couple of weeks because students may want to travel around Europe on their own dime or do whatever they want to do for 2 weeks, or they can come back. And then in mid-June, we'll come meet back here at MTSU and do the post-production. And the entire course is done mid to late July.
So that is when the documentary should be completed.
Yes. There's quite a bit of post-production to do. People see so much footage on television, internet, that they have no idea how much work it really takes to do a film. And you only have to do a short one to say, you know, I'll never look at a film that way again.
You need students who are interested not just in being quote-unquote stars, but in every aspect of production and post-production. Camera work, audio, editing, lighting, interviewing skills. You need people who are interested in the full process, right?
Jenna, that's a really great observation. That's exactly right. We need writers. We need someone interested in graphics, music, cutting, shooting. Everyone will be involved. But this is really a department-wide opportunity. And there are very few courses like this anywhere in the United States. So I think this is really a unique opportunity. I have to get a certain number of people in the course for it to go. I feel confident it will, but we'll know by mid-February.
We'll be back with more in just a moment. This is MTSU on the Record.
The Tennessee Employment Relations Research Association, or TERRA, gives labor relations specialists and academics a chance to share their views and their data. TERRA wants academics and other interested in human resources and industrial relations to work together at meetings and conferences to strengthen the workplace. Many MTSU faculty belong to TERRA, which has members in 20 states and 7 nations. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
Our guest today is Professor Tom Neff, who is offering students here at MTSU a unique study abroad opportunity to make motion pictures in Italy, mini documentaries, as a matter of fact. Your colleague, Dr. Bob Pondillo, has made short films that have achieved acclaim at film festivals all over the country using MTSU students and alumni. Are these films that you're going to be making in Florence, Italy, something that you could enter in film festivals, take on the festival circuit?
Very much so. These films, most importantly, will be a terrific piece of work for a portfolio of the students, whether you're involved in the sound or the graphics or the editing or the cutting. It's very important to have a product. It's very important to have something to show. And festivals are very open to seeing these things. I think a documentary that is shot in Europe and Florence will have an immediate interest to many, many of the festivals which are out there. And one of the things that Billy Pittard, who is the chairman of the department, is trying to do is show more of the wonderful work that is done in the EMC department. We have incredible graphics. We have incredible photography. We have great sound. We have great cinematography. There's a lot being done, and we're trying to show more of the wonderful things that students do at MTSU.
And if the work these students do receives acclaim, is it possible this could lead to grants that could fund more movie making in the future?
Yes, the department is always looking for partnerships with corporations, grants, and so forth. For example, even on the trip to Florence, it's expensive to travel. And yes, the course that the students are paying for, they pay for here. But the airfare, for example, is about $1,300 or $1,400. Even though we're getting a great discount for the room and board in Florence, it still costs money. And one of the things I'm hoping to do is find a corporation or a couple of corporations in Middle Tennessee who would be willing to support the program. How could they do that? For example, they might sponsor the air flights for the students, which are total about $15,000, kind of depending. They might sponsor the room and board for the students. They might sponsor the actual tuition that the students have to pay. And I think there's a great opportunity. The sponsor's name goes on the film, which goes into festivals, which will go on some sort of public television. So there's exposure, and there's an opportunity to support education, to support internationalism, to support understanding of other cultures and interaction with other cultures. And I'm hoping to have some success there.
Can you say about how much total it would cost a student? I know that we, in study abroad, in our education Office of Education Abroad here, we have scholarships that are available for students who want to study abroad. But it does cost a pretty good chunk of money for each individual student, doesn't it?
Yes, and it kind of depends on how you kind of work the budgets in some ways. But in essence, it's about $3,200 per student. Now, that's assuming they pay they get 3 hours of credit. That's assuming they pay those full 3 hours. There are some students who will be on scholarship, and of course, those would apply. And there's a 25% discount for tuition for any study abroad. Now, that's included in that $3,200 or $3,300. But it's easy to see where the money goes. Most of it, $1,200 or $1,300 for the airfare. It's $200 or $300 for the room and board per week. Even to get into the places that you want to see costs a little bit of money. So you're quickly up to $3,000 and $4,000. On the other hand, if, say, we have seven people, I could see a corporation with a little bit of depth contributing $10,000 or $20,000 and paying for the whole program.
Especially one that does business in Italy or trades with companies that are established in Italy. This is an experience not only in which they'll be learning about the process of movie making, but the opportunity to expand your cultural horizons, to expand your worldview just by being in Florence, Italy, is a real once-in-a-lifetime event, isn't it?
I think international travel is in itself its own education. One of the teachers, Claire Bratton, who I'm hoping will be able to go on the program with me, said this will be a life-changing experience for the students. They don't even know it right now, but it will be. Because here in Murfreesboro, here in Tennessee, here in the United States, we're all in our own bubble. Every country has its own zeitgeist, and to be suddenly thrust in another country where you're seeing other people who come from a different point of view, not better or worse, just different. And that in itself is an education in terms of seeing it and how to deal with it and interacting with it, absorbing it. Because we all know the world is getting smaller and smaller. What used to be around the world is a click away on your computer. But there's something different from seeing the person or seeing the place personally versus going on the internet.
In addition to the instruction they'll be getting from you, they'll be getting guidance from Italian filmmakers and professors at the University of Florence?
They very much want to help with us. They've offered facilities. My goal is to actually have professors come and do lectures on the art of Florence. Every day we'll be going to one of the historical places in Florence. Now, I could give the lectures on it, but to me that's a little bit boring. I'm hoping to have professors who are there talk about the architecture, talk about the economics, talk about the art, talk about the culture. You know, Florence, in its origin, and you're really talking about at the Renaissance being the late 1500s, and early 1600s, their business was wool. And so most of the money that came through Florence was from the wool industry. About 30% of the people were employed in wool. And so I think it would be interesting to go to a wool factory. And Florence also had many libraries. I think it would be interesting to go to one of the libraries where they have these old books, because what happened as you were coming out of the Dark Ages was that books weren't lost. They were simply put on the shelves, and in those days they didn't put the title on the binder. So you would go and you would find all these books, usually in a monk's or an place or an abbey or something like that, and none of them would be labeled, and they would all be in Latin. So a lot of what happened in Florence was the translation of classics, and that's a very important part of the Renaissance and a very important part of Florence.
We'll be back with more on MTSU On the Record in just a moment.
The mission of the June Anderson Center for Women and Non-Traditional Students is to provide education, advocacy, direct services, outreach, and programming for the MTSU campus and surrounding community on gender-related issues. The center also assists older students who are trying to balance work, college, and family. It also sponsors a monthly legal clinic, career brown bag series, book club, and a newsletter twice a year. For all of the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
We're back with Professor Tom Neff of the Department of Electronic Media Communication talking about taking students to Italy, Florence to be exact, to make documentaries. What sort of experience do you think this will be for the students in terms of the post-production when they get back and they see what they've shot and they try to actually put together some sort of a narrative that makes sense, and how one edits in order to be true to the material and to do it justice?
Well, one thing is for certain, that the movie you intend to make when you go, and we will script ahead of time before we go, will not be quite the movie we end up with when we come back. So one has to be flexible. One has to really look at the footage and see what is the story, because documentaries are really about stories. They have to have a beginning, middle, and end. They have to have impact. And I think it will be very challenging, very fun. And as is so often, people will photograph something or film something, and it isn't till later they get back and they say, oh, look at this, this, and this, or look at this in the frame. I didn't even know that was going on. That's particularly true with still photographers, but also with cinematographers. You can take a shot of something, and you think you're really looking at the people in the upper right, but what's really going on is something that's happening in the lower left, which you saw in your mind's eye. And that's a lot of the fun and the magic and the process of post-production.
Can they change the script with your approval, or is that verboten?
Oh, absolutely. The whole idea is to learn to make films. And in documentaries, you have to be very fast in your feet. What you think may be the story may diverge from that path. You may be filming one person and find that there's another person who's stronger, or the story moves in that direction. So you have to be very flexible. You have to be on your toes, and you don't want to wander with the subject. You have to be open to change.
There are all kinds of documentaries. There are like Frederick Wiseman's documentaries that don't have a narrator. There are point of view documentaries that come from a very specific direction and make a very specific point. And then there are documentaries that attempt to achieve a balance by presenting as many sides of an issue or a subject as they possibly can. What kind of a documentary will they be making?
Well, that is a great question, because there are, I'd say, two great strands of documentaries. Robert Flaherty, who is called the father of documentaries, his idea was to go to a place, for example, Nanook of the North. He went up to Alaska, and he stays with the group, films for a long, long time, and he lets the story emerge from the filming. He doesn't know what he's going after quite. He just films and films, and the story emerges from everything that he's taking. The contrast to that would be, say, a Michael Moore. He says, my point of view is that XYZ, you know, health costs us too much. And then he goes and films very specific things and cuts very specific things to get that point of view across. And, of course, there's a mix. And I'm not sure either is right or wrong. They're just different.
Yeah.
Certainly, one of the factors is expense. It was less expensive in older times to shoot reams and reams of film. Most documentaries now are scripted, at least partially scripted. You say, well, this documentary is going to be, for example, on Frederick Remington, the Western artist. Well, we're going to cover this, and we're going to cover this, and we're going to cover this. We're going to speak to this historian, and we're going to ask these types of questions. And you may not know exactly where it's going, but in general, you're kind of moving in a direction. And it's most documentary filmmakers will not just go to a place and just start filming and hope to get something.
Mm-hmm. With the growth of cable television and what some people are calling documentaries, and other people are saying, well, just some ginned up story about a murder that took place, it's different than the way it was when I was baby boomers like me were young and we were watching NBC white papers and CBS reports on television. To us, those were documentaries, and we didn't get an opportunity to see very many independent documentaries in motion picture halls or in college auditoriums or anything like that. How do you think the genre has grown and expanded?
Well, one of the good and bad things about 500 channels is that certainly you get a lot of repetition. On the other hand, there is a lot of opportunity for people to do different things. There's been a great change in documentaries from, say, the 70s and 80s, where you had the professor and the flute music in the background. Now, documentaries, they use feature film tools. They'll use close-ups and music and graphics, and there's nothing that a feature film doesn't use that a documentary won't use. So documentaries are more sophisticated now. The music and electronics have enabled much higher production value. The cameras are smaller. They're more sensitive. They're certainly less expensive. So the good thing about that is that's more opportunity. The bad thing is you get maybe more junk. And, you know, it's caveat emptor, let the buyer beware. But in general, I think we're at a very vibrant time. I think documentaries are just at the cusp of what can really be done with them. And I think people are tired of hype. They're tired of things that are fake. And documentaries hit a chord. There's something about life unfolding in front of you that is inspiring and illuminating. And I think that's one of the true attractions to docs today. Documentaries are education written enlightening. You have documentaries on hip-hop, you have documentaries on skateboarding, you have documentaries on art, you have documentaries on political things, you have documentaries on the environment. So there's a subject matter for everyone. Some of them make it to feature films, but a lot of them don't. So you can find them on the internet and on television. And I think there's a great opportunity for young people coming into the industry to be employed that way. Someone has to shoot all that stuff. And someone has to make all, there's a lot of channels out there. They all need material. One of the reasons reality shows have become so big is because, frankly, they're less expensive. Something like Mad Men costs $7 million an episode. Well, a documentary was costing $40,000 for the same amount of time, if not longer. So you can do a lot more with a lot less.
We'll take one more quick break, and we'll return with more on MTSU On the Record in just a moment.
The Intercultural and Diversity Affairs Center helps to promote awareness and understanding of the wide variety of cultures represented at MTSU. The center provides information, referrals, and resources. Additionally, IDAC tries to make students from different cultures feel welcome and comfortable on campus so they can have every opportunity to fulfill their academic, social, and personal potential. For all the latest MTSU news and information, go to mtsunews.com.
With Professor Tom Neff, who is going to be taking students abroad to Florence, Italy in May to teach them the fine art of making documentaries, mini documentaries, what do your students tell you about what kind of careers they want when they graduate? Do they want to go into TV? Do they want to go into movies? Do they want to have their own production agencies? What do they want to do?
Well, in some ways, I would say all of the above. I've had several students come to me to say they're forming their own production company and wanted some thoughts and advice on how to do that. I always tell the students here that their greatest resource is a person sitting next to them. These students, their classmates, they will know their entire lives. I went to USC Film School. The person I met the first day became my editor, and we've worked together for 40 years. We have a wonderful news program here so that many want to be in front of the camera, many want to be behind the camera. There's a terrific graphics department in terms of editing and motion graphics. There's wonderful opportunities here to do sports and live filming. We have $1 million truck that is brand new that'll do 16 HD cameras and 64 tracks, completely mobile, and that's very unusual for a university to have and for a student to have that opportunity. I have received wonderful support from all the faculty, everyone, on this trip to Florence, which is very different in some ways, a little
outside the box.
It's outside the box, and I'm sure that we'll learn a lot from this trip this summer, and I'm hoping we get great cooperation, and I know it will be success when we go.
If people want to find out more about it, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can email me at tom.neff@mtsu.edu, T-O-M-N-E-F-F. And importantly, the EMC department has a blog, and we're posting information on the blog. So just go to the Department of EMC, Electronic Media Communication, on the MTSU website, and there's a blog.
Professor Tom Neff, thanks very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
MTSU On the Record, a news and information program about Middle Tennessee State University, is produced by the university's Marketing and Communications Office, which is solely responsible for its content. Read more about MTSU at our website, mtsunews.com. Podcasts of this program are available at mtsunews.com and on iTunes.